I'm Laura Harper Lake.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman, and you're listening to Creative Guts. Listeners, thanks so much for tuning into Creative Guts.
This is a big one, guys. We are thrilled to welcome our first ever international guest. Woo! Today, we have Thomas Shea, the musician behind Game Boy. Game Boy's music is a sublime mixture of electro, swing, EDM, with melodic chiptune nostalgia, and you'll get to hear a clip or two in this episode. The Newfoundland resident released his first album following the 2017 RPM Challenge, and the April RPM Challenge is how I discovered Game Boy.
We can't wait to introduce you to Thomas Shea of Game Boy, so let's get started with this international interview.
Thomas Shea, thank you for being on Creative Guts.
Thank you for having me.
So, Thomas, what did you think when Laura emailed you out of the blue to get you on this show?
Initially, I was thinking, she clearly has the wrong person. And the other thing I thought was, is this a real person? So it was a 50-50 of, I don't know if she realizes that I am the person, or is this really a person? And I was just like, even if it's not a person, I saw those Spamalot TED Talks, and I was like, I'll respond. Yeah, what's the worst that can happen?
I definitely spent a long time crafting that email to sound the least spammy possible. I referenced the RPM and Portsmouth and how I was a musician too, and here's a link to my stuff, so I'm a real freaking person. Typically, our funnel of guests are either friends of friends or people, you know, within our realm, and we can reference where we live and, you know, common places we've worked or something. And so it was definitely the first time we've reached out to someone internationally up in the North Country to us.
Yes, up in the Northlands.
And so, yeah, I'm really glad that you said yes. I discovered Thomas's music for me through the RPM Challenge, which was the April edition. Because everyone was kind of at home staying safe. I did it, and I was listening to the streaming YouTube channel of it, and his came on, and it's a very unique, awesome sound that feels like a few bands that I really like already. And so I was like, oh, who's this? And I reached out to RPM to find it. And, you know, down the rabbit hole I went to find Thomas for the Creative Guts podcast.
That sounds so cool.
It is. And so, yeah, I was really pleased that you were like, yes, of course, let's do this. You are a real person. Okay. You know, so that's good. So why don't you tell us about you as a creative? You know, what is your music like?
My music, it depends on which album and what song you're listening to is what it's like. But generally, my favorite stuff to make falls into two categories. One being sort of a mush together of like chip tunes and like drum and bass. And the other half being generic EDM with electro swing elements. And yeah, it's okay.
It's awesome. Those are all genres that my husband and I actually love. The first time I got into chiptune music was Anamanaguchi. Do you like them?
Yeah, I do. They're fantastic. They came and performed on George Street in St. John's when I was younger. And I didn't get in to see them because it was sold out. But I heard them from outside. And I was like, that sounds sick.
That's the one show that I have missed during this stay at home. I was supposed to see them in June down in Boston. Oh. Finally got tickets after like listening to them for years, and then it got postponed. So someday we're supposed to see them. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea when, but that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you make all your music on the computer?
On my computer, on my tablet, on my phone, and very little actual instruments. Mostly because I'm not that talented at playing them without messing up. But the computer is a nice way to ease everything together.
So I've made a little bit of music on the computer. I'm more of a play an actual instrument type of person, but only because that was kind of my exposure. And I just, I got like an MIDI keyboard. And my RPM album was the first album that this particular one was the first time I didn't play any actual instruments. And it was a totally different switch in your brain, I think. And I did a dinky little EP with 5 songs, and you did 30 songs.
30.
Okay, overachiever. Yeah. So
Wow. For the April RPM challenge?
Yeah, a song a day for the month.
Wow. You didn't even need to do more than one. That's amazing.
Super impressive.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to do. And for me, I always take the RPM challenge as a challenge. And I wanted to make it the most challenging challenge I have ever challenged.
I love it.
So how do you create instrumental music of that nature, you know, keyboard into the computer? As far as, do you think of inspiration in, you know, when you're driving or in the shower, it just hits you? Or is it more like you sit down and just sort of tinker and play?
Well, it's all of that, really. I've done 4 or 5, I can't even remember, it's all blending together now, RPMs at this point. And my first one I made almost entirely on my commutes to and from work, where I would hum to myself little tunes and I would record them, and then I would overlay them on each other, and then I would put that through a filtering system and turn my actual voice and humming into the music. Then on like my next one and ones after, like, because the first one I did, my wife didn't know about it, neither did my kids, and then they knew about it, so then they wanted to make sure I had the time I needed to do it. So they'd be like, okay, you can work on that. You go down this evening, dear. Work on your music. So then I would focus, sit down, and just go through it. Like, I don't know. It's just a lot of fun sometimes, and then you lose track of time, and it's like 6 a.m. You had to wake up for work in an hour.
Yeah, it can really run away from you.
Yeah, especially when you're in, like, a song that originally, yeah, I'll just do one more. Just one more. And then it's like, oh, wow, this is really difficult. Oh, wow, okay. Oh, no, the file corrupted. Oh, no. That is something that is a lot worse with the digital production versus, like, real. Is, okay, I had my entire sound crafted, everything here. It all sounded good in my head. And file goes away. And you're like, oh, no, I don't remember all of that.
Now, do you produce music outside of the RPM challenge, or are you just sort of like an RPM musician like my husband is?
I'm just an RPM musician. I've only ever recorded music for fun for myself. I don't like the idea of being pressured by a record label to actually do something that's consistent in quality. I like the fun of just being like, that's good for me, and, you know, keep going.
Yeah. There's something super valuable about, like, the structure of the RPM challenge. Like, my husband only records music, you know, once a year, but during the month of February, he's like a full-fledged musician, and then the rest of the year he's not, because he doesn't have that structure, like, making him do it on a deadline.
No, exactly. Like, with the work I do on, like, my professional setting and that I went through in school and everything, I've always worked with deadlines being, like, the most important thing. And if I tried to make music on my own, I don't think I'd have the focus to bother finishing anything. And I see how, like, real musicians fall into that problem.
Just out of curiosity, what is your profession?
I'm a mechanical engineer.
Cool.
Yeah. Not exciting, but fun.
Is there a lot of creative problem solving in your job there as well?
Yeah, that's 95% of what I do is solving problems. And the other 5% is Excel spreadsheets.
And have you ever found anything in your work ever inspires your music in a way? I know that's I don't know a lot about mechanical engineering, so I don't know if that question really makes sense. But, like, do you ever feel a connection between the two?
Well, actually, it's very interesting you say that. So I can actually take this back to the second ever RPM challenge, I think, that ever happened. I was still in high school. I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. I was in a career development class, and I saw this challenge. I was like, I want to do that. And I tried. I tried so hard to record me playing guitar, singing, playing drums, accordion, all these other instruments I could play partially. And it was just atrocious. And the main thing I encountered was my computer making error sounds over and over and over again. So I took those error sounds and made a song out of it. And it was the best song I made on the entire thing. I don't know whatever happened to that album. I didn't release it, like, under my name or say anything about it. I just submitted it. I was like, I did it. But I don't even know what that happened with that.
That's really, like, you get lemons, you make lemonade. Like, that's really, like, turning it on its head. I love that.
Yeah. No, that was back I was working on my dad's old work laptop, which was a Microsoft 98. And it just, well, I couldn't run an actual audio software. So I used like Movie Maker and then had clips of movies playing on the screen at the same time to get the sounds to work. I had to be way more creative to get it to work back in the day than I do now.
And how the times have changed, right? Like, mm-hmm. stuff's amazing. What programs do you use now to make music?
Every album I use different free apps. I've never invested any actual money because I do this for fun, not for anything else. But I generally tailor it all together using Fruity Loops or FL Studio, as it's known now, Traction, GarageBand, because I do have an iPad mini, and I use Audacity as well. I use everything I can just to squeeze music together.
That's awesome. Which one's your favorite?
Probably Fruity Loop, FL Studio. I'll never get used to that change.
Yeah, I know. That is weird. And Fruity Loops just sounds way more fun.
It sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm guessing you like, do you like video games?
Yes. I'd show you, but I can't move the computer too much, I don't imagine. But like over there is like a video game shrine that me and my wife have. Like over half of it's hers, in fairness, but we love them. We love video games.
Because for folks that don't know, chiptune music is very reminiscent of, you know, like the 8-bit video games. And your music, the first thing I thought of, I am not a huge gamer, but my husband is. One game that I love, even though I can't get past level 3, is Dance of the Necromancer.
Oh my god, yeah, the music in that game is so good. I suck at it as well.
It's really hard, and as the music speeds up, you have to move faster and do all these things. But your music is very reminiscent to that, like, dancey chiptune vibe that I love it. It's so great. And I can see the visuals of the game when I hear some of your songs that are like that, you know?
When I first made like chiptune music, half the time I was imagining a video game level. So I'd be like, I'm going to put a sound here because that's where I'd want a jump to happen. And that's where I'd want like to go to this other section or like a ramp or the idea of building the level based on the sound.
That's really interesting because you're working on an audio component creatively, but you're thinking visually about the music and how it's going to translate.
Yeah, that's neat. And of course, either your username or sort of your band name is Game Boy, right? So why Game Boy instead of sort of releasing it under your own name?
Well, if it was awful, I didn't want people to know I made it.
That's a good reason. Say no more.
But honestly, when I made like my chiptune music and I shared my first song that I'd finished in the RPM challenge group on Facebook, someone said, man, this sounds just like my old Game Boy or whatever. And I was like, Game Boy, that's a great name. I'm going to use that.
That's awesome.
So I have to thank some stranger for the name.
The Game Boy was the only video game I ever had growing up. I had a Game Boy when I was like 11, I think. But that's it. That was my only exposure to video games till my, you know, college days or something like that.
You poor, poor woman.
I know. Well, it really... So my husband was just bragging about gamer bladder and everything because like when you play a game, yes, you can focus in for like 14 hours and you don't have to get up to go pee or eat or drink or anything. You're hyper-focused. And I can't play a video game for more than an hour or two without like... Well, if it's not 2D platformer, I get motion sickness from from it. So it's very impressive. And I think it has to do with growing up with video games. You're just used to it. You know?
To clarify, you really did say gamer bladder.
Gamer bladder.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
That is a term.
Okay.
Thomas, back me up. It's
today.
Thing.
I learned.
I was today years old when I learned.
So this is so funny. So I can't even like imagine what it's like to create music on the computer. I'm just sort of like picturing like, you know, hitting buttons and stuff. Can you walk us through the process of like, what does it mean to create this music the way that you do?
Well, like I said, every song is a bit different. generally I'll come up with a general tune of some form in my head, humming it, whistling, something like that. And then I will go in and create a, I'm going to say, a sound registry keyboard by modulating a bunch of different knobs and settings in the software. Then I will try to play notes that match what I'm humming to make the melody. And then I will go back and fix it a couple dozen times. And then I will add in drum tracks. Sometimes they're default ones that are in the software because they work. Or sometimes I will be like, okay, I want tap, tap, tap. And I'll like play on the keyboard as like my arrow keys or whatever are synced up to a certain portion of the drum and things like that. And just keep building and building and building. Most of my songs, when they're done, have probably like 17 to like 45 different audio tracks in them.
That's so cool. I think it was an earlier guest who talked about putting on just like an absolute, like a ton of layers of stuff when he's making music and then pulling them off.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. I know on, I think probably even on this album, I don't even know. There's a couple songs that I had that basically crashed my computer because of how many things I had. And I was like, well, I think that's the computer telling me there's too much happening. And like even sometimes, say, where I reference video games within my music, I'll use a sound effect from a video game, like Mario gets a coin or Sonic gets a power up or something like that. So I just have to have a single audio track just to have the one little clip at random in the midst of the song.
I love it. That's so cool.
You're like an audio collector. You know, like you collect all these different little like knickknacks of sound.
Yeah.
I know I have recorded myself playing some video game sometimes. And I'm like, I just stay there, jump a bunch, go backwards, get killed by enemies and stuff like that just to get the sounds.
That's cool. Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
Since 2017? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm bad at memory.
Okay. That's awesome. And have you found that your style's evolved a bit? I mean, you said sort of every album's a little bit different.
Yeah, I think early on, most of the music was really either extremely generic because I was using all the default presets in the softwares, or very chiptune without much flair. And then over time, I listened to more music, and so I have more influences that I want to incorporate into my own music. And I try and fail, and then I try and succeed sometimes-ish. And I think every album is better than the last one, aside from the RPM I did in February this year before this one. That one I did in like 3 days and is atrocious.
Okay, note to our listeners, when you tune in to Game Boy, skip that album.
Yeah, that's an album I actually put as, when I originally made it, I said it was by Thomas Shea, not Game Boy, because now there's quality associated with Game Boy, and my name means nothing. So yeah, just shove that on there. That's perfect.
Using yourself as a scapegoat. Yep.
So I think it's time to give our listeners a taste of Game Boy. So here is The Adventure Continues by Game Boy.
Yes, Juno-worthy, wasn't it?
Okay, back it up, Thomas. What does that mean?
What?
The Junos are basically the Canadian Grammys, but even Canadian artists don't consider them very important.
So is it sarcastic when you say, oh, it's juvenile worthy?
Well, no, I wish that would be a dream come true for me, as if my music could be heard actually across the country, or I guess the continent at this point, with the possibility of your podcast and all that. But when I made my music, I was just like, no one but my wife and whoever goes to the listening party will ever hear this. And that gave me a lot of pleasure, knowing no one's going to have to deal with this. And then people said they liked it. I was like, oh no, then I might have to give a speech someday or something. And there, in 2018, I actually won an award in Newfoundland for electronic music. Now, it's a pretty small pond. There's not that many of us here in Newfoundland who make electronic music, but I had to give a speech and it was terrifying.
Oh my gosh,
that's awesome.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. is so cool.
Not mm-hmm. as cool as learning that a couple of New Hampshire residents are listening to your music, though, right?
That's pretty well top. I'll give you my trifecta of accomplishments with music. Number one, I'll save. You'll wait for that. Number two, I'll give winning an award. Number three, this podcast, for sure. Number one, my wife's friend, her son and my son play together. They have play dates. They love each other, hug. It's adorable, but they miss each other now. But he loves my music, and he says I'm his second favorite song, next to Dance Monkey, and I was like, that is really good. That's a 4-year old kid saying I'm almost as good as Dance Monkey.
I don't know what Dance Monkey is, but I assume it's a big deal.
Big, huge. What are you talking about?
We're both not parents yet, so we haven't hit that train yet, but wow. That's a pretty big moment. That's awesome. Well, you're impacting someone with your creativity. That never gets old. That's so exciting. Ugh. And this song is number 22 on the most recent album of Game Boy, Mind Your Manners. Swing.
It's just a great time.
I like the diverse range, and I love that you did 30 songs. I'm still just so did you ever get musician's block? Was there ever days where you were like, what do I make today?
Yes, there were a couple days like that. I was doing well. I had 10 days in the month, 10 songs made, and I was proud. And then 4 days in a row, I was like, everything I'm making is awful. I can't do it. I should just quit. I shouldn't have signed up to do the 30. I should have just done 10. I would be done. I could just start having fun with my life. I could whatever. And then I woke up the next day with a headache, and my wife's like, you were grinding your teeth in your sleep. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, it can be a stress when you put the pressure on yourself. Nobody's putting it on you, but you put it on your own shoulders, and then that's kind of the result.
I signed that form on that email saying I'd make 30.
They're gonna hold you to it.
He's gonna come to my house and be like, I'm gonna cough in your general vicinity, watch out.
How are things where you are pandemic wise or is everything mostly closed? Or are you sort of stuck at home?
Our province, which is a state equivalent in Canada, I guess you've got, I probably know that anyway, had a stay-at-home, more or less, order for the last 2.5 months. And right now, with that, we only had really one bad outbreak. I think there's less than 10 people who are still sick in the entire province.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really good.
So with that, we're hoping, obviously, those people get better, and then we can resume life more or less normal, but not let anyone visit us.
Wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. So was this something that was then sort of really helpful and something that helped you cope with sort of being stuck at home and like having music? And was that part of the decision to do 30 songs? Yes.
I was like, I need something to take up as much time as possible while I'm trapped at home. And especially at that point, because we still had snowbanks that were up to our second story windows. So
literally trapped.
Wait, what? Snow?
Well, this was February when this started. Really?
Well, April.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
But yes, basically for us, this year in Newfoundland, we experienced something that we called Snowmageddon, which was like a snow apocalypse there. It shut down the city where I live for over a week. The snow either kept coming, knocked out power, and it came so much so quickly they didn't know what to do. So everyone was put in a state emergency and everyone had to stay home until it was done.
Oh my God.
So this is wild. Like with the pandemic going on, it's like this is the second time this year this has happened.
Man, I have got to move. We didn't get like hardly any snow this year.
Wait, you want to move towards the snow, Sarah?
Yeah, yes. Ugh. We used to get way more snow in New Hampshire and it just gets less and less every year. It's so sad.
I'm okay with that. I don't. I like it for Christmas and then I'm done. I'm like, all right, you're annoying.
There was it Christmas, Tibbs Eve, day before Christmas Eve, we had snow and I was very happy about that.
What day?
The day before Christmas Eve, Tibbs Eve. I'm giving you Newfoundland education here now.
What is Tibbs Eve? Sounds like tipsy. Do you get drunk and like...
Don't get ahead of the story. Tibbs Eve, also known as Tips Eve, is the night before Christmas Eve where traditionally men and women of a certain age range will get together and have their like big drinks and everything with a group of friends, go out to bars and go to shows, that sort of thing, before they end up stuck with their family for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, we should really adopt that in the U.S.
Everyone should adopt it. It's my favorite time of year. I had my bachelor party on Tibbs Eve before I got married. It was great.
That's awesome.
I want to live where you live. It sounds like your government cares about you and you get to have really cool holidays like this.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Do you think any of your songs were kind of inspired by the cabin fever of being stuck at home? I mean, if you did February RPM, which always gives, you know, musicians a little cabin fever, and then, you know, the snow thing and the pandemic, like, did you have some like cabin fever and did that it like kind of influence your music a little bit?
It certainly did. I've always tried my best to make songs to the point where I felt this is good. It tells a story through sound, everything like that. This one, I was like, some of them can do that. Some of them I'm making just till they're over. And the cabin fever elements of it were, I just want this to be over. And some of the songs, you'll gradually fade out a song and then you'll ramp up into the next one. I have a couple songs on the album that just go and they're over. It's
I'm
like,
done
I
with
just
you.
Want this. Yeah, and it is the same concept. It's like, I'm done with this. Please just stop.
So I've done RPM for quite a while, on and off, and St. John's has popped up on the radar for the RPM website like a bunch. And it's like, did a bunch of like new, you know, Portsmouth, New Hampshire folks move up there and start a little community or something? Like, it feels like it's a really strong creative hub for the RPM challenge. So do you know why that is? And do you connect with other folks in your area over the RPM challenge?
Yeah, so I think when the first RPM challenge happened, a writer in our local arts newspaper at the time found out about it and wrote a story about it. And people were so interested in it that the next year, when February came, without even talking to the folks in New Hampshire, that newspaper ran the challenge. Same idea. So people locally heard about it and participated. And then the two groups joined together, sort of, with the online presence and everything. And it's just been a snowball effect of people locally hearing about it, getting inspired by it, and then seizing the opportunity to take part in it. I know when I first looked into doing the RPM challenge, like as an adult, I was like, okay, RPM challenge. And I was like, wow, I didn't think this was a thing anywhere but Newfoundland. I missed the original thing altogether. that it was, you know, New Hampshire based, and the guy who organizes it all here locally, I was like, I thought it was all him. And now recently he is the guy who is now in charge of RPM, like, internationally. And I was like, I guess we've done a lot here or something.
That's yeah. So cool.
Yeah, you guys have. Have you gone to physical listening parties in the past?
I've gone to every one that I can, because it's a lot of fun hearing all the music. Normally, the way that Elling, who's the guy in charge, does it is he gets whoever's there. If there are songs coming up, he'll get them to come up and do a quick little, like, back and forth chat about the song and then play it. So everyone gets the opportunity to present their music and talk to a host, and people get to associate a face with the name and the sound all at the same time. It's a really nice opportunity. I know some of the biggest hit ones here locally are kids who do it, and they're just precious. Like, you're in a room at a brewery that's here, and, like, it's all ages because of the time of day. So you have, like, all these, like, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, one guy in his 70s, and then you have, like, a band of merry children who are, like, ranging in ages from, like, 4 to 12, and they're the best.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so cool.
Aw, I want to go to yours there, too.
I know.
Back in the day, the Portsmouth listening parties were kind of epic, and they're still wonderful, but it's like this year it was just on, or I'm sorry, last year. God, time is just meaningless right now. But last year, it was in just one location. And when I first started, you know, 8 years ago, whatever it was, like, they had 5 or 6 different local restaurants and bars play a certain percentage of songs, and they listed whose music was being played at what place, and you could, like, bar hop basically from place to place. But there wasn't really, like, a talk to the artists or anything like that. And I really like that. I think that connector is even more nice, because then you know, it breaks that barrier to go, like, talk to someone. You feel like you kind of already know them, so you can introduce yourself and connect.
Well, for me, I'm obscenely awkward socially, so I found it very beneficial. I'd be like, I know that guy's name now. I can talk to him.
Have you ever considered collaborating with anybody? Like, would you feel comfortable musically doing that?
I've attempted to collaborate with a couple people locally, actually, because like yourself, when you heard it and you're like, oh, that makes me think of Onomatoguchi. And there's a lot of bands in Newfoundland and St. John's area and everything that are capable of playing real instruments. Like, we'd love it if you just put some stuff in the background with us and we could, like, jam and all this. And I was like, sure. And so they leave me alone. I make them a thing, say it's like 40 minutes of random music. I was like, you do whatever you want with this, boys, go mad. And most of the time they come back and like, no, this, we can't, we like this, sorry.
That must be hard, like, people performing live and then connecting someone who does it digitally. It is done, but it must be kind of a hard thing to connect.
I mean, yeah, like pop artists, I mean, that's what they have to deal with, like, most of their time, right? So I mean, they figured it out. I just, I don't know.
it's so cool. I mean, it's pretty rare that we reach out to someone that's not near us. You know what I mean? Like, it is partially because of the state of the world and all, but it was also like, I feel like I needed to talk to you. Like, we needed to know who was making this cool music. So it's kind of cool it all worked out.
Well, hopefully, you know, I've opened up the doorway here. You can talk to whoever you want now worldwide. You can be like, yeah, you know, New Hampshire's your new neighbor. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, as it goes, New Hampshire and Newfoundland, we're both new somethings.
Exactly. It fits perfectly.
I guess I'm wondering sort of, what do you kind of want people to think about? What do you want people to feel when they're listening to your music? And of course, I know that probably depends on the song, but, like, what's your goal?
So the first time I made music was I wanted to challenge myself to try and do it. The next time I made music, I was trying to get over a sort of traumatizing time in my life, me and my wife's life. It was sad and I needed a distraction. I needed something to work through. So that's what I did. I made music, and I made music that would make me feel happy. I hope that when people listen to my music, it makes them happy. You will very rarely find a Game Boy song that is downtrodden, depressing, comes to nothing. There is no bass drop in a song that has a lead up to a bass drop. No, you're not getting disappointed. You're getting your bass drop. Don't worry about it. And that's what my goal with my music is to make people happy, and hopefully people who hear it and are like, well, this guy's a chump, I can definitely do better than that, and I'll inspire people to make even better music.
I think you definitely accomplished that. I'm bopping around listening to it, and I sent it to my husband, who is super snobby about music in the sense of it has to be happy. That's his prerequisite, because I listen to a whole ton of music, but I definitely listen to a lot of sad, emotional stuff. I like to get it out and listen to the sad stuff. And even songs that I would never classify as sad, he'll walk in and he'll be like, oh, this is a sad song. Like, he just has a very high bar for what happy music is. And he really liked your album. And I was like, yes, like, I have a hard time referring music to him because it has to hit that threshold of non-bummer,
well,
you know?
Well, I mean, now you can tell him, look, the guy who makes it explicitly makes it to be happy. He doesn't want to be sad either.
For that purpose. Mission accomplished.
And I love sort of the use of creativity and like the arts as a kind of like a coping mechanism and a way to get yourself through a hard time or whatever. It's just so beautiful. And I think in some ways, like, the coronavirus is helping us all to kind of like connect on that. Like, we're all going through something challenging. So we're like, okay, let's use our art and get through this thing together.
I know for me. Can I say something, actually? This is something you never asked me about. What sort of music do I listen to?
Tell us.
What a great question from our third co-host.
Just let me know. I can borrow my buddy's microphone anytime. Don't worry about that. I listen to a lot of punk rock music, a lot of grunge music, and a lot of music from musicals, and also some hip-hop. So... like, for me, if I could make whatever music I want, I would want to make music that sounds like Billy Talent, who you guys might know, Green Day, you guys should know, and like the Gorillaz. Like,
that's my husband's favorite band.
Yeah, the Gorillaz are basically my favorite band for most of my life as well. So
you and him are very similar. Like, you guys have a lot of things in common. And it mm-hmm. looks like you're wearing a plaid shirt, which is pretty much all he owns. So.
I switched jobs, like companies and stuff, and I went from a company that was really casual, I could wear whatever, t-shirts, hoodies, and now I'm at one that, oh no, collared shirt every day, yep. You know, tucked, belt, all that, and I was like, okay, you're gonna see a lot of plaid. I have one shirt with some watermelons on it, one with some pineapples, those are for Fridays, and that's it.
Oh, you guys should talk wardrobe. You'd get along with him really well.
Yeah, I like this. I feel like Jeff should become like a Game Boy type musician, inspired by Game Boy. And like, you guys can collaborate and talk about plaid.
Oh my God.
I love it.
He's not into making music at all, but if he was, it would completely be this kind of music. Like, he's just super happy and peppy, and it references he's playing a video game right now, probably. Like, he's gaming a ton. He just finished a Spider-Man game earlier today, and he was switching to a new game. So,
what, Spider-Man on PS4?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, and he just finished. He replayed The Last of Us, replayed it, like, for the third time in preparation of Last of Us 2 coming out soon.
Yes, yeah. He sounds like a great guy. Good choice. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. I picked a good guy, yeah. So we should probably switch to our segment called Rapid Fire. So these are really basic questions that are, you know, one word to one sentence answers. So we're looking for quick answers here.
Yes, ma'am. Not a problem. I'll listen.
So first off, what other artist has influenced you the most?
Dead Mouse.
Huh. Nice. What is your sort of favorite way or your go-to way to find new music to listen to?
Go to YouTube Music or Spotify or something like that. Press shuffle and wherever it takes me.
Nice. Go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
What is your favorite instrument as far as like the sound it makes?
Bagpipes.
I did not expect that.
That was an unexpected answer. What's your favorite color?
Irish green. It's from The Sims. In The Sims, it's specific green in The Sims.
That is so funny. What's your favorite scent?
Pancakes.
Good one. What's your favorite sound?
Boop.
We so rarely have somebody act it out.
Yeah, you're the first person to act out the sound. Can you do it again?
Oh, no.
No pressure, no pressure. We can, you don't have to do it again.
I'm broke.
We broke him.
It was just so good.
Yeah, I know. Okay, next one. What's your favorite texture to touch?
Clean linoleum.
Interesting. That's a new one for us, too.
Yeah. Look, I'm a different person.
What's your favorite taste?
Taco?
That's a good one.
Nice. I had the best taco for lunch yesterday, actually.
Nice. Well, how was it made?
So it was a corn tortilla, which I don't usually like because, you know, corn tortillas can be pretty hit or miss and, like, you know, if you ever go to like a crappy Mexican restaurant, tortillas are gross. So it was a great corn tortilla, and it was like a Korean sauce or something on beef with like an Asian slaw. It was so good.
It sounds really good. And I just ate supper and I'm sad.
Yeah, sorry.
It's
so
okay.
Sorry.
My wife doesn't mind like 7:30 our time tacos.
Yeah. What's the most inspiring location you've traveled to?
The Parthenon in Greece.
That's cool. A good one. I want to go to the Parthenon. Mm. What's your favorite video game?
Oh, Sonic 2.
Nice. What'd you think of the new Sonic movie?
I still didn't see it. I tried to convince my wife to go on Valentine's Day, and she's like, how long have we been married? Not long enough.
I will say it was surprisingly funny. I mean, Jim Carrey was really good in it.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's a Canadian treasure. Gotta love him.
He is. I love that man.
Oh, yeah. We should ask you, what's your favorite famous Canadian person? Oh,
I won't use sports hockey people because those don't really count. I say Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is a good guy.
Yes.
I didn't even realize he was Canadian.
Oh, he's proudly Canadian when he feels like it.
Yeah, okay, all right. Do you like hockey? Is that a Canadian requirement?
Oh my God, yes.
Are you run out of town if you don't like
hockey? No, it's quite all right, but you get looked at a little strange.
So, Americans have a stereotype of Canadians being incredibly nice. Are you aware of that? And do you think you guys are all nice? Because what the hell? How do you guys get away with being so nice? That was one of the biggest things I said to Sarah after talking to you on the intro call. I'm like, God, he's so nice.
I know that we are called being very nice. Thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah, I don't feel that's fair from the Americans I've interacted with. But I mean, there's a lot more of you than there are of us in Canada. So that could be it. Not all Canadians are nice. I really hate to burst your bubble there. But generally, if you say hello and the person responds, that's your average Canadian. Because we don't like leaving anyone hanging. We like chatting with people at random. In Newfoundland, where I'm from, in Canada, people say Newfoundlanders are like the nicest. Like, we'll do anything for anyone. And it's very true. Like, in Newfoundland, it's hard. It's really hard to find people who won't go out of their way to try to make you feel better or have a chat or get you tea or what have you. And when we've had emergencies here and, like, the military's come and stuff like that, like, half the people in the military end up married to Newfoundlanders out of the situation.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so cute.
It's adorable. It's absolutely adorable.
You're like the Canadian stereotype to Canadians. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so great.
The only thing that we lose it on is we don't actually speak English. Like, I've been doing my best. I am a townie, as we are known, in St. John's. But if you came and went about 45 minutes out of town, you might have a hard time understanding a single word that's being said.
So can you emulate what that sounds like for us, for a taste?
I'm sorry, any Newfoundlander who hears this, who's not from St. John's. This is, it's joking, I assure you. Hey, how you getting on there, boy? Come on down. Yes, you're looking fine there now. Sure, come on in. Yes. Oh, no, toss that over there. Yeah, no, don't mind the chummy. Take the chummy off that. Flicker over to there. Yeah, oh, okay.
Now you're just making up words. What was that?
Well, there's also, like, we do have our own... in Newfoundland, there is traditional. We still have the dictionary of Newfoundland English, where we have, like, a dictionary that's, like, this big, that's just entirely Newfoundland words that don't exist anywhere else.
Oh, my word. It's amazing how... close we are, but how far apart we are in some ways. Yeah. That's really cool.
I've read about this like stereotype about Newfoundlanders before on Reddit, but I actually like didn't put it together today for this interview. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, like if you ever do come to Newfoundland, which I highly recommend when all this is over and tourism is allowed, tell them, you know, Thomas Shea sent you. They'll know who I am probably. Because we all know each other one way or another. But if you come here and you like this place and you want to be an honorary Newfoundlander, we actually have a ceremony that people can do to become honorary Newfoundlanders. As I'm talking to you, I think you guys have the stuff. I think you guys could be great Newfoundlanders if you wanted. Yeah.
Once again, just tell them,
you know, Thomas Shea said we'd be good, and you'll go right on through. Won't be any trouble. It normally happens at a bar. I won't spoil the details. It's a great time.
Yeah. And we have one last question for you, Thomas, and it's the kind of clincher question. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Just calm down. You're fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. When you're halfway through your second year at university, you'll be fine. Until then, don't worry about it.
It's really good advice.
Nice. That's really good. That's a very common theme with a lot of the, because these rapid fire questions, kind of a lot of them are very similar from guest to guest. And
not almost, many boops.
You are the first one. But that, you know, like calming down or not stressing the small stuff, like that is, you know, I mean, Sarah and I are both bona fide worriers. That was both advice we would give ourselves. So I feel we're kindred spirits in that.
Oh, yeah. They're, my first year at university, I failed a course for the first time in my life, and I was wrecked. I was like, oh no, I can't stay at university. I'm too dumb. I can't do this. And then I was like, you know what? It's probably because I didn't try. I really should try harder. I should actually focus on things I'm doing rather than just doing them for the sake of doing them. And so then I actually put effort and time into things I worked on and got rewarded for it by actually doing well. And I wish I'd been able to do that earlier. But alternative to that, may as well relax, be a child when you can, and don't worry about it.
That's awesome. That's really good.
Thomas, thanks so much for being on Creative Guts.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been a very fun time.
Yeah. I told you we'd be laughing, yeah, right?
You held up your end of the bargaining stick. You did a great job.
Right? Yeah. We get silly.
Can you do the sound again?
That was microscopic.
I can't. I'll never be able to make that sound again.
We're just going to replay it from the first time over and over again.
Does the answer to all the rapid fire questions is just a boop?
Definitely.
Oh, man. And so with that,
show us your creative guts. Please.
Another huge thank you to Thomas Shea for joining us on Creative Guts. When we reach out to folks out of the blue for an interview that we have no connection with, you never know what you're going to get. Aside from creating really awesome music, Thomas has a refreshing and enlightened approach to music making and is genuinely kind. I know we were both grinning the whole time because his joy was contagious. I am so pleased and honored that we got to meet him and interview him.
Sadly, our listeners missed the best part of this virtual interview. After we stopped recording, Thomas's adorable son serenaded us with Somewhere Over the Rainbow on the ukulele. So clearly, you know, music runs in the family. It was truly the sweetest thing that's happened in the past few months. If you want to listen to more of Thomas's music, you can find Game Boy on Bandcamp. Go to game-boy.bandcamp.com.
As always, you can find more about Creative Guts and our guests online at creativegutspodcast.com, on Facebook, and on Instagram, where our handle is at Creative Guts Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Creative Guts. Ba-da-da-da-da.
Boop.
Conclusion. Boop. Boop. Oh, my God.
So cute. With our guests in a minute, I'm going to do a countdown and we're going to say, show us your creative guts. And it's kind of like a call to listeners to go out and be creative themselves. And if you want to do the boop immediately after, feel free. Also, feel free not to. But sometimes we encourage people to do sound effects or whatever they want. Okay, so,
all right. I got something in. I'm good. I'm ready. Maybe.
Okay. All right. And so with that, 3, 2, 1. Show us your creative guts. It gets so hard. It's like a train wreck. It's the lag. I know.
It's
the Zoom
she's
lag.
She's saying it, but she isn't. Am I supposed to?
Let's try it again. We could try it again, but it's probably going to be sloppy as hell. Actually,
we'll just line it up and post.
I'm going to say it. Then Sarah, I will be done. Then Sarah says it. She'll be done. And then it's Thomas. I'll say it. And then we just line that sucker up. Please, I like that. So sweet. Oh my gosh. Thomas, do you want to do a collab with Creative Guts? Make a song and sample the Show Us Your Creative Guts.
Oh man, totally. Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be sending us your audio when we're done, and then I'll be editing it, and then in a week or two,
the clip.
I'll just send you the clips, yeah, and so then you can have both of our voices and yours, and you can do a little song with it. Yeah.
I love it.
Cool.
With extra boops. That's awesome. Boops.
Extra boops.
Yeah, I'll send you that. Oh, well, you'll have it because you're recording it.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. This has been such a fun episode to record. I pray to God nothing happens with you sending us the file. Knock on wood somewhere.
Oh, yeah, we could all.
That's like the biggest fear.
Yep.
All right, so yeah, we're all going to hit stop now and then hit save.
Stop.